Thank you. Hallelujah. So we have been teaching about the parables of the kingdom. And remember that Jesus was teaching this way so that the secrets of the kingdom he reveals to his people, his children, his disciples. So in Luke 8 and in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, he says the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. And when we reflect on this truth, we know now that we need to be together, having this Christian conferencing. Let's dive into the scriptures so we understand. So every Sunday is an opportunity for us to go deeper and not just go with what Jesus is saying when he used this agriculture teachings, that when you hear it, you can miss so much if we don't really dive into it. So when we reflect today on the parables of the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the weed, here is what Matthew 13, 24 to 30 says. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, just say to your neighbor, wake up. His enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servant asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. So this is the teaching that Jesus is presenting before regular people in the marketplace, right? And then the disciple asked him, explain to us the parable of the wheat and the weeds. So we should be full of a desire to understand, to go deeper, a hunger for God. And as we do that, God will reveal more things to us. So today we're going to answer these questions. Why does evil coexist with good in God's world? Why does he allow the wicked to flourish while the righteous seems to struggle? Think about that. Because when we go and start exploring the kingdom of God, and again, I've been teaching also that the kingdom of God is this powerful reality here but not yet, that Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is here in me. I'm bringing the kingdom of God. I'm the King of Kings. I'm dying for you on the cross, but I'm also coming back again. And the full manifestation of my kingdom will come with my return. And that's what he's saying. At the same time, when you go to First John 5, it says that we know that we are from God and the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. So we have this tension of evil coexisting with good. The same tension that Jesus is showing us here in the parables of the wheat and the weed. So Jesus begins to explain the parable to his disciples. And he starts saying, okay, let me break this down for you. So we have the man who sowed the good seed, and the man is the Son of Man. The good seed is the people of the kingdom, the people of God. The wheat is the people of the evil one, saying that we have evil people in the world. Then you have the field, and the field is the world. Then you have an enemy, and he says the enemy is the devil. So the devil is real, right? He doesn't need documents to come to the United States. Okay? So he can show up everywhere and anywhere. So it's real, even though the media try to convince us that Satan does not exist. Yes, he exists. Jesus is quoting that and saying the enemy is the devil. And then you have the harvesters, and the harvesters are the angels who come to do, you know, to separate good from evil, to separate the wheat from the weeds. And then Jesus began to say and talk about the end of time, where the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire. So it will be at the end of the age. That's the final judgment. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. This is why it's so important that when we are living our lives, we are submission in full surrender to God, so the Holy Spirit can work through us and we can do good. And as we do that, we know that when the final judgment comes, we're going to be defined, considered, and claimed as righteous. And when Jesus says, when you are righteous, guess what? You will shine like the sun in the kingdom of your Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. This is Jesus speaking. So when we understand the parable of the weeds and the wheat, we have to ask this question. Am I ready to live in this tension between good and evil? Because you and I are going to be constantly pressured toward good or evil. And we have to make a decision. And every word, every thought, every action will reveal our hearts. And then we have to give an account in the day of judgment for whatever we say, good or evil. Now, let's break this down into more pieces so we can swallow this elephant, okay? Are you ready to break it down? Because if not, I am. I'm ready to break it down, okay? Let's break it down. The sower field. So we're talking now about the world as God's creation. And I've been teaching and continue to remind you that we have a creator that is distinct from creation and distinct from the creatures, us. And because we understand that, there is a separation. Now we know that the earth belongs to God. And when 1 John 5 says that the world is under the power of the evil one, however, the world does not belong to Satan. It belongs to God. And because of that, we know that he's in control, regardless what is happening, regardless what is going on. And we have this faith, because the gospel is very simple, that Jesus died on the cross, and he's coming back again. And because of that, I have this hope that I'm going to be part of the resurrection. It's a very simple message, really hard to live. However, when we go deeper, we need to ask the question, where evil comes from, and we have been answering that question again and again. People are very concerned with the evil out there when God actually wants us to be concerned with the evil right here. Because the collective evil in our hearts is what you see in the world. That's why we need to go back and reflect on this. You know, God created the world, God created the earth, he created the garden, he created Adam and Eve, and we are sheep. You know, God is always challenging us to go deeper. These questions like, oh, Adam and Eve, do they really exist? Are they the first human beings created? Well, that question is important. But you know what is more important? That God created humankind. That's what you need to be reflecting on. Instead of going through the leaf, go for the tree. The tree is that God created us. He created humankind. That's the purpose of Genesis. It's not to talk about dinosaurs. It's to talk about God as the creator. And as we understand that, we're going to have this revelation. So when he showed Adam and Eve, these three, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have you ever thought why Adam and Eve saw good things in the thing that God said it will kill you? When Adam and Eve saw the tree, he said, they saw it was good, but God said it's not good. It's not good. And this is the problem with culture today, that we are here trying to define what good and evil is. And it means that if what I'm doing feels good, then it must be good. If I'm doing is pleasurable, then it should be good. If what I'm doing does not harm anyone, it should be good. It must be good. The question here for people who actually are committed to follow Christ and submit to his kingdom and submit to him as the king and submit to him as the son of God, to his message and his mission, the real question is, what I'm doing grieves the Holy Spirit. Then you need to ask that question to you, not only what people think, what the culture says. You need to ask yourself, what I'm doing, what I'm thinking, does this grieve the Holy Spirit? Does this break the commandments of God? I'm going against scripture when I'm doing this? That's the question that the disciples are asking, not only what people think, what culture says. And that's the problem that we have now, a culture that is trying to tell you and tell me and tell everyone what is good and what is evil, what is goodness, what goodness is. Trying to define that. Well, we, the children of God, understand that the only person in heaven and on earth to decide and define what goodness is God. Why? Because he's God. Why? Because he's good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. God is good. God is good. Exactly. You know it. You know it. So, and that's the understanding. The truth is, it doesn't matter how the tree look like. What it matters is what God says about the tree. That's what matters. And we have this tension of looking at things and determining this is good, this is evil, this is... Don't do that. Ask God, and he will let you know real fast what is good and what is evil. So you have this tension, how evil comes into a good creation and coexist with goodness. It's the same tension that you have with the weeds and the wheat. And Jesus answered us by pointing to this patience that the sower has. Those questions, why does God allow this? Why not to pull up the weeds immediately? And God's patience and love, he said, no, I have patience. I'm going to allow evil and goodness to coexist. I'm a patient God. However, don't get confused. Don't get confused. I have justice. And when he says in verse 27 and 20 and 30, he said, no, let's both grow together. And the servants were asking, let's go. Can we go and just pull them up, just uproot it and clean it? And Jesus answered, no. Let both grow together. The weeds and the weeds will grow together alone. Let them grow together. And it's a teaching for all of us to have patience with one another. Because our tendency is when we see an evil person or when someone does evil against us or evil to us, we go, you know what? I'm going to take matters into my own hands and I'm going to make this guy disappear right now. I don't want to see him again. Or in church, when you see people that are contrary to you or do things that are not worthy or holy, or and they said, you know what, let's take this person out. Let's send him to another church. You know what? You're not welcome here. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, have patience. Let everything grow together. Let the wheat and the weed grow together. It's not the job of the pastor to decide, you go, you stay, you are weed, No, no, no. You are wheat. No, that one over there. I know that one. That one is wheat. That's not my job. I can make mistakes. Why? Because I know that I was born in 1974. I'm 50 years old. And from 1974 to 2001, when I received Jesus as Lord and Savior, I was wheat. This message was preached all over the world from 1974 and even before to 2001. And guess what? In 2001, kabunga, I became wheat when I received Jesus as Lord and Savior. So God says, let's be patient, because in your patience and in my patience, some weeds might become wheat. And now that I receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, now that I'm every day seeking the Holy Spirit so I can stay connected with Jesus, now I have to stay grounded so I don't turn back into weed again. This is a challenge for everyone. We are all challenged. Doesn't matter who you are. At the feet of the cross, the earth is the level, the field is level. We are all have to make the same sacrifices. No one can escape that. God is so patient. Remember that the world was already judged once. And we're talking about the flood. And here is the example in Genesis 6-9. Do you know how long Noah was building the ark? 120 years before the flood came. 120 years God waiting for people back then to repent and turn to God. We didn't. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. Year after year. Then after 120 years, the flood came. Now, Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and now Jesus is waiting for all of us to turn back to God. And God's waiting and waiting and waiting. And people get confused, and they think that God's patience means leniency, means license to do whatever you want. I'm telling you, when you do evil and you don't reap what you sow right there, it's because God is giving you what? Grace and space for you to repent, not for you to continue doing what you're doing, thinking that he's not going to do anything to you. Someone said the gospel is so powerful that regardless how sinful the pastor is, people will still come into Christ. And guess what? I can preach the gospel all day. People come to Christ all day. People being baptized all day. And if I don't repent, you are going to heaven. I don't. And I can hide it well. But I'm not perfect. Same challenge that you have, I have. The question here is, are we going to receive God's patience as a gift? But also knowing that he's so powerful, that he's love, but he's also a judge. And we have to give an account for every action we make. And as we reflect on that, God will reveal himself in us in a mighty, powerful way. So here's the harvest, the separation between good and evil. And the beautiful thing about this is that when you make a comparison between the two, you have at your left, you have this field where you have wheat and you have weeds. And because the wheat don't have fruit yet, it looks almost the same. Okay? And then the other side, you have actually the wheat producing fruits, like in the parable, giving fruits, producing heads, which is the season for producing and multiplication and pollination. And now when the wheat has fruits, now you can tell, okay, this is wheat, really fast. Before that, you can't. For us as Christians, we are called to produce what? Fruits. The fruits of the Spirit. And that's the only way we know who is wheat and who is weed. The problem is that the weed are side by side growing together with the wheat. Both are sucking from the soil, taking all the nutrients. The problem is that the weed is producing nothing. And the wheat is producing fruits. Both plants are getting from the soil everything, all the nutrients. One is producing fruits, the other is not. Same thing with us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the word of God. We have the church. We have worship. We have the power of the kingdom. We have angels protecting us and working on our behalf. We have all of that, but some of us are not producing fruits. Then we become what? Weed. Some of us are producing fruits. Some of us are actually reflecting daily. If I'm not producing fruit in any area of my life, God, open my eyes to see it and give me the wisdom and the clarity and the revelation to understand who you are so I can start working on it right away, because I don't want you to show up like a thief in the night and then I'm unprepared. Wow. Wow. So the question is, who are you? Are you weed or are you wheat? You know what? Ask your neighbor and see if he's awake. Ask him, are you weed or are you wheat? Ask him, please. Wow. We only need to look at the fruits, right? So this is what the separation is all about. Wheat and the believers and the unbelievers. And then you have this picture of the barn. And he says, okay, the wheat goes to the barn. That's the destiny of the wheat, the barn. The destiny of the weeds is fire, burn. In other words, burn, barn, burn, barn. I remember in Cuba we have a game called Earth, Heaven, Earth, Heaven. And you have to play that. And as the one playing the game say, Earth, Heaven, you have to listen well or you might end up in the wrong place. So when you say Earth, Earth, Heaven, Earth, Heaven, Earth, and then you say, oh, you lose, go out. It's heavy. Okay, you have to do that. And believe me, we are playing the same game today in the church. We're playing the same game in the church. Heaven, earth, 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 TV, watch, movie, mole, me, ah, e, ooh, heaven. That's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. We have to stay grounded in Jesus. Because our destination is not to burn. Our destination is to go to the barn. That's what Jesus wants. That's the desire of God, that we go with him and embrace who he is. And that's why Paul is teaching about this. He's saying the end of the age is the judgment, the day of the Lord. This is so powerful that Jesus taught about it in the gospel. Then you have the Apostle Paul teaching about it in 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, which means they knew. They knew that this is a fact, that the day of the Lord is coming. For you yourself are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And then he starts explaining all of that. And saying, be awake, right? This is Jesus first teaching the parables, talking about a thief in the night, the day of the Lord, the end of time. Now you have Paul teaching about the day of the Lord. Now you have Peter also teaching about the day of the Lord, saying the day of the Lord will come like a what? Like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolve, and the earth and the works that are done on it, it will be exposed. This is Peter teaching. And the beautiful thing about this, all these books were written in different times. How these people are teaching the same thing? Why? Because Jesus passed this teaching to the apostles, and the apostles passed the teaching to the church. And now you have John also teaching about it in Revelation. He says, remember then what you received and heard. From who? From Jesus, from Paul, from Peter. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Wow. Powerful. It's the day of the Lord is coming. This is the beauty of all this revelation and all this truth. And we need to be awake, waiting. He said that it will come like a labor, like a pain in a pregnant woman. So if you don't know what the day of the Lord is, ask your wife. She knows. It comes suddenly, and you are in pain. And I remember, you know, you see a woman giving birth. She doesn't care about the nurse or the doctor, when you are in pain, you are in pain, and this is it. And if the nurse dare to say, keep your voice down, I don't care about my voice right now. Shut up. And then he said, forgive me. That was so rude. Forgive me. Right? That's what it is. We have constantly, you know, to be in this position where we have to do good and evil. So let me give you an everyday example. Imagine that you have a rude neighbor who is not concerned at all with you, and he can disturb you and with blasting loud music at night. Why? Because he sleeps during the day, right? He's fine. So he knows that you are a daily riser. He doesn't care. He's not concerned about you. And he goes and blasts the music. Bam, 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 bam. And you are tired of it. You say, you know what? Tomorrow morning when I get up to go to work, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play the music back until he understands how rude he is. The problem with that action, which is a normal human reaction, is that by doing that, you also became as rude as your neighbor. And this is why in Romans 12, God is saying, do not repay evil with evil. Repay evil with good. And that's what makes the difference. When we are in situations where we have to respond back, God, the angels, Satan, your neighbors, everybody's looking, what's going to do? What's going to do? What he's going to do? And when you do things that are against human nature, the angels rejoice. God rejoices. Wow. Wow. He didn't pay back the same way. That's a miracle. And that's what the heaven and the kingdom of God is all about. The things that are not second nature to you are the things that are first nature for the kingdom. And that's what God wants us to understand and embrace. That he is calling us to have this patience, to have faith, to have this certainty that the kingdom of God is coming, that Jesus himself is revealing himself and claiming to be God in this passage. When he says he's the Son of Man, when he says that he is the Son of Man, again, he's going back to Daniel 7:13. He says, in my vision at night, I look, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. Jesus is claiming himself to be God. He's claiming a title. The title is the Son of Man. I am the Son of Man. Connecting what he's saying with Daniel in chapter 7. And then he says, you know what? This Son of Man came and approached the Ancients of Days. Meaning, the Ancients of Days and Jesus are not the same person. God the Father and God the Son are not the same person. And when you understand that, it says that Jesus is revealed in the Son of Man in a way that is powerful. Then he says he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This is the certainty that we need to have. That the kingdom of God is coming. Jesus is coming in his power. In that revelation, regardless what you are seeing in the world today, you need to keep believing. You need to keep believing and be reminded, I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. I know that Jesus is coming. I know that the Holy Spirit is preparing me for something greater. I know that I will be gathered and that Jesus will come and receive me. And when you have that revelation, it's so easy to receive these promises that Jesus is doing, is making in this parable, that we will shine. He's also quoting Daniel 12 when he says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. Number one. Number two, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So the goal of God is not for us to be righteous, but also for us to help him to turn others to righteousness. Step number one, I'm going to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now I know that I'm not going to pay for what I did. I'm not going to pay for what I have been doing. I'm not a Buddhist. I don't believe in Hinduism, in Buddhism, karma. You do what you pay. That's not what I believe. I believe that I have grace and I have mercy. A mercy and a loving God who forgives me, who paid for me on the cross. And because I know that, now I am righteous. And when you receive that, now God says you are righteous. Now God is expecting that you're going not only to receive that truth, regardless of how you feel, and now turn and preach the gospel to others so that others turn to righteousness as well. And that's when the full circle closes, when we receive that revelation, that truth. So here is the life applications for this. Number one is God's sovereign field. It's the world. Become comforted that the world belongs to whom? To God. And resist the fear and remember that God remains in control. Wherever it's happening, God is in control. And I know, and I know it, and I know it. Number two, patient in the face of evil. Take heart and avoid taking what? Vengeance. Enjoying people prematurely, because you don't never know if your rude neighbor might receive Christ tomorrow and come and ask for forgiveness. You never know. Three, live prepared for the harvest. Reflect daily on your walk with Christ. And here's the question. Are you living as wheat growing in faith and bearing fruit? Or are you in danger of being shocked by sin and not producing fruits? Four, await the kingdom fulfillment. Jesus is coming back. Fix your eyes on the glory of God's coming kingdom. This promise is the ultimate justice and eternal life to motivate you to do what, Pastor? To persevere. Doesn't matter what is going on. Every day you get up, guess what? Let's do it again. This is not about next year. And Christian needs to start embracing this fact. Every day you get up, every day you open your heart, your eyes, you need to open your hearts and declare, this day I'm going to do the will of God. Tomorrow I don't know, because Jesus might come today. What I did yesterday doesn't matter. Today I have to do what? The will of God. And so many people are living on old stories when they were faithful, when they were wheat, and they don't even realize that now they are wheat because they are not producing fruits. But if we are constantly reflecting and asking for forgiveness, your eyes will be open. My eyes will be open. And now I'm seeing. I'm not producing fruits in my family, with my in my business, in my spiritual life, in my social life. You need to go around and ask people, am I producing fruits? Are your children? Am I producing fruits? Am I a good example to you? Ask your children. Ask your neighbor. Ask people. Let's close with this quote from Thomas Aquinas. 1, 2, 3. God is perfect, and he always show up in perfect timing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the assurance that you are in control of all things. Even when good and evil coexist in the world, teach us to be patient, trusting in your perfect plan and in your final justice. Help us to grow in faith and fruitfulness, shining your light amidst darkness. Strengthen us to live as your people and use us to plant good seeds in the life of those around us. We look forward to the day when your kingdom will be fulfilled in glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you are able, let's stand together and sing our closing song, Everlasting God.
Very loved, that you are children of the living God, and you are called to be wheat, not weed. God bless you.